I am looking forward to this year. It's going to be a good year. And before we jump into it, maybe you just want to turn in your Bibles. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 3 this morning is where I want to land. We'll be jumping around to some different stories in the Bible. But I do believe that this year can be a game changer for us. I believe that this year can be a defining moment for us if we learn to lean in and step into what it looks like to trust God with all of our heart. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for who you are. God, you are good, you're faithful, you're worthy, you've never failed. And today is not going to be the day in which you start. I pray, God, that your word would speak to us. God, that we would be changed by your presence. God, that we could become who you designed us to be, people who know you, people who love you, people who trust you with all of our heart. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. It was about 7 weeks ago. I talked a little bit about this last week. It was about 7 weeks ago that my oldest son, Aiden, had a skateboarding accident. And, you know, he was fooling around with some friends before dinner at a life group and was just kind of having some fun on a skateboard and wasn't wearing a helmet. And fractured his skull and had a brain bleed. And I fully lost it in the ER and had shock and pretty nearly much passed out in front of everybody. It was awesome, right? I didn't understand really how much it affected me until, you know, just a couple weeks later. You know, we had been through some difficult stuff as a community kind of leading up to this. And so I was already emotional. I was already sad. And I can remember sitting in my office. I share an office with Tim, and he's rarely in there. But we found ourselves in there a couple different times, kind of just talking about the year, talking about what was going on, and we just couldn't stop ourselves from crying. Like, we were just so emotional. And I know, you might be thinking, Ryan, that's not very manly to just sit in an office with another man and cry. You might be right. But then again, I'm also the guy who maybe cried at this new Star Wars movie. So, like, go ahead and let that just be your filter. Right? But I look at this year. You know, we're only 5 days in, and it's been pretty great so far. But this year, I want to trust God more than I ever have before. Because I don't want to get to July and say to myself or to others, man, I just want to get through this year, even if it kills me. I just got to get through this year. I want to stop being the kind of person that does the same things every single year and expects a different result. I want to grow in my relationship with God. Like, and that's difficult. Right? Like, life is busy. Life is challenging. Like, even for us, in one of the most privileged places in the world, life is difficult and challenging for many. And it's kind of like no one's exempt, right? Like, we all have an opportunity to choose how we're going to engage in our walk with God in this new year. And for me, as I look forward to this new year, like, it's easy for me to say I want to trust God more, right? But, like, what does that look like? What does it look like to trust God? Like, we all have our checklists. Maybe it's coming to church more. Maybe it's reading the Bible more. Maybe it's this thing or that thing. Maybe you've already started some new things out of resolutions for what it looks like for you to be more healthy and more engaged in your spiritual life, and that's amazing. But this last week, I did what I encouraged everyone to do last week as I was talking through the different lies of identity last week. I said, look, let's spend some time reflecting this week. And as I did that, as I thought about, like, what I'm hoping for in this new year, I was reminded of these words in Proverbs chapter 3. And many of us would know it. It's a very popular verse. Starts in verse 5. It says, trust the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. That's from the English Standard Version. I also like what the New Living Translation says, and I've also included verse 7 in this one. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. It's the same deal. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all that you do, and he will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. I don't know about you, but I've always been pretty impressed with my own wisdom. I often think I'm the smartest person in the room, even when it's undoubtedly the opposite. Right? Like, and so this year, I'm looking forward to trusting God more in some serious ways. And so I've outlined for myself three kind of tensions that I want to live out of instead of, just making these broad declarations of what 2020 is going to look like. There are things that I'm wanting to lean into instead of other things. And maybe they'll resonate with you. Maybe they won't. Maybe they'll help you. And I want to share them with you because I want to be a person who practices what they preach. Right? And so I want to invite you on that journey with me so that you can yourself say, hey, Ryan, I don't think that you're doing what you said you were going to do. I want us to have the kind of community, right? We started this journey of together, late last year of discovering what it looks like to be the church together. It's awesome. It's beautiful, but it's also messy. But we have to be able to invite ourselves into these spaces to be able to have these kinds of conversations. And so the three things that I'm looking forward to trusting God more with this year is this. This is the first one. I want to live out of purpose instead of others' expectations. I want to live out of purpose instead of others' expectations. We talk a lot about purpose at Good Life. We believe in it. It's one of the driving forces behind why we do the things that we do in the manner in which we do them. You know, Tim, if you've been here for any length of time, you would have heard Tim talk about the four P's, right? How do you live your life? Do you live it for power? Do you live it for position? Do you live it for prestige? Or do you live it for purpose? This is just another way to identify those lies that we sometimes live out of our identity. I know that I want to live for purpose. I want to be who God designed me to be. I want to wake up to the reason that I exist on this planet. And I hope that you do too. I hope that you want to wake up to the reason why you're here in this place, or you're in your community, or you're in your work situation, or you are interested in the things that you're interested in. Right? Purpose can be easy to talk about what it isn't, but what really is the definition of it? Purpose is the reason for which something is done. Purpose is the reason for which something was created, or the reason for which something exists. But it's not just that only, it's also a person's sense of resolve and determination. Why on earth are you here? I'm reminded of a couple of stories in the Old Testament of guys who lived with this sense of resolve. They knew why they were there, right? They had made a decision that this was who they were going to be because of who God invited them to be first. And the first was a guy named Moses. Many of us would know him. But there was a certain point, Hebrews tells us, that Moses made a decision, that he chose no longer to be identified as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but instead he wanted to be mistreated the way the other Israelites were. And there was a reason for this, because he could see the reward that came with it. He knew that he was going to be a part of God's plan for his people. It wasn't easy. He made wrong steps. He misstepped time and time again. But he made a decision. Not only Moses, but there was another guy named Nehemiah who was in exile. The Israelites had been conquered. They'd been scattered out all over the place. And this one Israelite ended up being the cupbearer to the king in exile. and he had a desire in his heart to rebuild the wall around his city. And through some miraculous intervention of God, he ends up being able to do that. But he encountered opposition after opposition after opposition. Nobody was really keen on him doing this. And some people who are arguing and trying to distract him are like, you got to come down off the wall and have a conversation with us. And Nehemiah is like, no, I'm not coming down off the wall. I know what my job is. I know why I'm here. You see, purpose allows us to be in this space where distractions are diminished. When we know why we're here, when we know what God has invited us into, we're able to have those distractions diminished. And we're also able to push through some of the difficulty and the pain because we know that there's something greater beyond it. I want to live for purpose instead of other people's expectations of what I should be or what I could be. The second thing that I want to live out of is I want to live out of a heart of surrender instead of a heart of control. That verse says, lean not on your own understanding. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, trust God. Instead, lean into God. Lean into his wisdom. Lean into who he is. That verse in Proverbs is one of the most quoted, one of the most popular, but one of the most challenging. I don't know about you, but sitting in that ER, I was so aware that everything was outside of my control. There was nothing I could do. I didn't know how to use the CT scanner. I couldn't help. I was on the floor, passed out. I couldn't help anything. I was so aware in that moment that there was nothing I could do to make this better. And I think that's kind of what began to unravel, right, in my own heart and in my own mind. Can I really trust God with my kids? And it began this journey. And I don't know, maybe you're not anything like me, but I think most of us as humans are in this space of there's something that we're trying to control instead of surrendering and trust to God. Let's do a little thought exercise. Let's go ahead. Let's close our eyes and let's just think for a minute. What is the thing or things that we're trying to control? Just go ahead and close your eyes with me. Let's think about it and then let's name it so it doesn't have that power over us anymore. Maybe it is your kids. Maybe it's outcomes. Maybe it's security. Maybe it's your job, your career, your image. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's coworkers. Maybe it's different relationships. Maybe it's the thing you're trying to control is that you don't want to do this stupid exercise Ryan's making us do. It could be anything. And I'm not asking you to say it out loud. I'm not asking you to jump up and tell everybody what it is. It's just between you and God. What are the things you're trying to control? Just offer it to God. God, I want to live with open hands. I don't want to live with a clenched fist. I want to trust you. I want to trust you more in 2020 than I ever have before. You know, I went out for breakfast with my wife on Friday. Friday's kind of our date time. And we were doing what I had talked to you guys about doing, kind of reflecting over the year and looking ahead to 2020 in ways we were hoping to see some differences and, you know, some breakthrough. And my wife asked me, she said, well, what do you think the greatest revelation of last year was? And I talked a little bit about this last week, right, in the lies of identity, was that I'm a control freak. I didn't realize it until I began a journey kind of with my Christian psychologist about the different ways in which I was trying to control outcomes in my life over and over again. And I guess I probably shouldn't say I'm a control freak. I'm a recovering control freak. Can I get an amen? Right? And like, I would never have described myself that way. Right? I maybe wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't been in a situation where I'd come to the end of being impressed with my own wisdom, but instead allowed God to speak to my heart about things that I maybe was holding on too tightly with. And so through this process of learning to let go and surrender and trust God with different things that are difficult for me, I've learned to ask myself some questions, and maybe they'll help you. Maybe they won't. They've helped me, and I'm still on this journey. But the first question is it worthy of my concern? Should I even want to control this? Should I be concerned about this? The second question kind of takes it a little next further, a little bit deeper. Is it mine to control? Am I supposed to even be involved in the decision-making process of this? And even if I am, again, let's go back to question one. Should I be concerned about it? Because sometimes we should be. Sometimes we have to replace lies with truth and have courageous conversations. So this is not about getting out of courageous conversations. It's about surrendering our heart and letting God work. Because that third question is really all about God. Is this God's alone to deal with? Is it worthy of my concern? Is it mine to control? Or is it God's alone to deal with? Daniel talked a little bit when he was talking about the bushfires, just about, you know, a way in which we can reach out and we can help. And sometimes in those kinds of situations, we can be really anxious about things. And when we choose to trust God with situations and we choose to trust God with circumstances, it brings up this anxiety in me. I don't know if it does in you. But I love the way that Philippians, Paul talks about this in Philippians chapter 4. And I love how the Message describes it. It's a paraphrased version of a translation, right? But he speaks about it in such a way that explains kind of the heart behind it. He says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, talk to God. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayer, letting God know what you're concerned about. And before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. I want to live this year with more surrender than control. I want to trust God with the things that I have tried to control in the past, the safety and the security of my kids, what other people think about me, what it looks like for me to be a godly husband, right? All these things that I have tried to really manufacture outcomes in the past, I want to lean into the wisdom of God and not be impressed with my own ideas. The last thing is I want to live out of freedom instead of regret. I don't want to get to the end of the year and look back and see all the things that I've missed or all the failures that I've made. I saw this thing on the internet. I don't remember when I saw it first, but I see it often, and it's this tattoo, right, that says no regrets, right? Incorrect spelling. It's like regrets or no regrets, but it's definitely not no regrets. And there's like nothing more embarrassing, right, than a public failure. And nothing more permanent, it seems, than an incorrectly spelled tattoo. I've never yet discovered a tattoo that I'd want to have on me forever. Some people do, and it's awesome. But I'm always scared that it will be misinterpreted. I lived in Japan for a number of years, and my cousin several times who knew Japanese very well, would see tattoos on white folks back in the States, and she'd be like, hey, what's your tattoo say? And they'd say, you know, oh, it says courage or love. And she'd be like, oh, that's nice that you think that. Because it might not be the right thing. It might be somebody's copying something they saw in a book. But there's nothing more embarrassing than a public failure, right? And I guess when I say I want to live out of freedom more than I want to live out of regret, I want to remember and I want you to know that you are more than your worst moment. That you can be who God designed you to be. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I'll say it as many times as I need to remember it. Failure is an event, it's not a person. We can live out of who God has invited us to be. That in this transformative life of Christ, this new life, this new creation that he's called us to, we can be who he called us to be, who he's invited us to be. We can be our true self. We don't have to believe the lies. We can replace the lies with truth. That I am loved, that I am favored, that I am secure. The Spirit of God invites us into this transformative life. And for me, that's what trusting God looks like, is that when I look back, I see where God has transformed me. And I'm not there yet. I'm so, so not there yet. But I'm on the journey. We're all on the journey of becoming more like Jesus. I love, there's this pastor that I enjoy back in the States from Portland. His name is Rick McKinley. He wrote a book called This Beautiful Mess, talking about the church. This is what he said in it. In the middle of the brutal reality of death, Jesus never stopped calling people to life. Centering his attention on life, he continually pushes us past the smaller and cheaper things that we tend to live for, and he goes right to the core issue, which is life itself. In a mysterious yet absolutely real way, the kingdom of Jesus is here, now, and in power. And like gravity, this kingdom doesn't require our attention or our consent in order to exist. It just is. But you know what the cool thing about this kingdom is that Jesus is constantly inviting us into it. That you at your worst moment does not disqualify you from being in his kingdom. That you are a child of God, that you do belong, that he is with you. That you can live out of purpose instead of others' expectations. That you can live in a place of trust and surrender instead of control. That we can be exactly who Jesus designed us to be. We've been invited. We've been invited to trust the Lord with all our heart and to lean not on our own understanding, but in all of our ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight our paths. What would it look like this year if those straight paths weren't just or only favorable outcomes? They were instead an opportunity to be transformed into the image of Jesus more and more and more and more. Will you stand with me? We are invited into becoming who God has always designed us to be. And I hope that as you look into the future of 2020, I like to say 2020 because then I'm not encouraged to make bad puns. But as we look forward into 2020, what would it look like for us to trust God in a way that we might never have before? Maybe awakening to our purpose for the first time. Understanding and pursuing that hill on which we would be willing to die, to surrendering control, to trusting him with the things and the outcomes and the images that we really don't have any control over anyway, and being free to be exactly who Jesus designed us to be, because we know that it was for freedom that Christ set us free. This year could be an important moment in your life. Today could be an important moment in your life as you recommit to that idea that I can be, with God's help, who he designed me to be, who he redeemed me to be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for who you are. God, you are so good. God, your goodness goes before you. It comes into this place. It's already outside when we leave here today. I pray that our awareness, God, would be opened again to how amazing and trustworthy you are. That we would, in this year, in this day, lean in to trusting you more than we ever have before. And God, I thank you that as we go, as we stumble, as we fall, God, you're right there to pick us up, to clean us off, and to remind us of who we are in you. God, thank you for Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen.